feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we have been looking at the sad story of a man's downward spiral. The man is Saul, and the story is found in the book of 1 Samuel. Saul was the first king of Israel and seemed to start off well, but things quickly changed. He turned his back on the Lord and became obsessed with killing David because he was jealous of him. In our current study in chapter 28, we see just how far Saul has gone downhill. He is consulting a medium so that he can bring up the spirit of Samuel. God actually allows Samuel to give Saul a message that tells Saul that he will die and Israel will be defeated because of Saul's disobedience. Let's now join Pastor John as we continue the story from this point.
Well, now this woman, the witch, that made this happen. Actually, she didn't, but was the instrument that God used. This woman came to Saul and saw that he was sore troubled. He was very upset and said unto him, "Behold, thy handmaid hath obeyed thy voice. I have put my life in my hand. I risked my life to do what you asked me to call for Samuel in that way. Now therefore, verse 22, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid. Listen to me. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way." Hey, I risked my life for you. Now please listen to me today. Have some bread. Here's some food. You have to eat. You have to regain your strength. He refused, verse 23, and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. The woman had a fat calf in the house. She hasted, killed it, took flour, kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread. So she had some bread and she had some beef. It was basically a quarter pounder. And she brought it to him, because see, he had the shake, so, you know, he was shaking and trembling. And so anyway, it was a full meal deal here, I guess. And she brings it to him, and she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they arose up and went away that night. So he regained his strength by taking in the food that was prepared for him. He was completely wiped out. He was emotionally distraught. He was physically trembling, shaking. And then the woman said, "Listen to me. You need to eat." And when he did so, he regained his strength and went on his way. Now, was she being nice? You see, she's a witch, as we've seen previously. She's an evil lady. So what's the deal? Does suddenly she have a change of heart? Is she being a nice person here? Well, it could be that she knows, hey, if Saul dies in my house and he's the king of the nation, it's going to not be good for me when they find his dead body in my house and I'll be in hot water, I'll be in big trouble, I'll be in jeopardy. So I've got to get him back on his feet again. I've got to make sure he gains his strength and gets out of here, lest I be accused of his death and lose my own life, you see. That could be. Or it equally could be, in my opinion. What's happening here is what happens in spiritual life for you and me, in our situations, quite frankly. Here is Saul. He is shattered. He is broken. He is in fear. He is trembling. He's not eating at all. And she, in her, quote, compassion, is actually an instrument of the enemy. How so? Well, let me read to you. Don't turn there because time doesn't permit. But let me read to you from Daniel chapter 10. Daniel, a godly man, also had an encounter that caused him to be like a dead man. It says, I, Daniel, in chapter 10, verse 7, saw the vision. The men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. They fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone, Daniel said, and I saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness, my strength, was turned in me to corruption. I had no strength. So here is Daniel, having a vision, a spiritual encounter. He too now is on the ground in fear, in trembling. And then it says, yet heard I the voice of his word. When I heard the voice of his word, then I fell on my face toward the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, fear not, Daniel. And he begins to give Daniel the word that Daniel heard. The point is simply this. Here Daniel, a man, also has a vision, an encounter. He's in the spirit. He's on the ground. He's in fear, doesn't know what to do, waiting on the Lord in a place of awe, in a place of fear and trepidation, uncertainty. And then he feels a touch that caused him to go to his knees and the palms of his hands. And then he hears a word in his ear, stand up, Daniel. And he stands, and further information is given to him. What are you suggesting, John? Simply this. Sometimes when a person is blown away, when they're in the dirt, when they're confused and upset, when they're broken and stressed, when they're full of anxiety, when they're depressed, we can have a tendency to want to rush in and say, here, take this quarter pounder. This will be good for you. Have some vitamins, or have this meal, or listen to this advice that I want to share with you, or let me help you feel better, or here's a drug to take, or let me pour you a drink, some might say. Hey, the reality is this. Sometimes a person needs to be in the place of brokenness for a period of time. And sometimes when we want to rush in because, hey, we're concerned about him or her or them, so we want to rush in with our full meal deal, our quarter pounder and little toy that comes in the box too. We want to say, hey, I'm here to help you. I'm here to cheer you up. I'm here to see you through. Sometimes we can actually be getting in the way of what God is doing in that person in those days. Sometimes a person needs to be on their face in the dust, broken before the Lord, until they hear him say, stand up. I have the word that you need to hear. Until they feel his touch, you see. Sometimes in our desire to help people out, we get in the way. Sometimes in our desire to rush in and make things right, we hurt that person in that dark, dark night. They need to hear from the Lord. They need to be broken before him. They need to be open to whatever he might want to say. All that's to say this. Sometimes the Lord may let you be in a place of brokenness. Let it happen. He'll come in due season. He'll touch you. He touches me. He always does. And you'll hear a word in your ear saying, stand up. This is what I want you to know. Stand up. This is what I want you to see. Stand up. This is why I've let you go through that period where you've been on your face in the dust. We need to be careful that we don't try to rush in where God hasn't sent us to solve a problem. Even if our heart might be right, we can get in the way. Like that analogy we often use, if you see a cocoon hanging from a limb of a tree, and you see it begin to move, the cocoon, and you know a butterfly is inside, struggling to get out. In your compassion, if you take out a pair of scissors and cut carefully the bottom of the cocoon to help the butterfly get free a little bit easier, in reality, the butterfly will fall out and fall to the ground and die. It will never fly. It's the struggle that causes the fluid to go from the body of the butterfly into the wings that will allow the butterfly to do just that, to fly. Without the struggle, he will not fly. And sometimes in spiritual life, as hard as it might be, we need to realize, yes, Lord, you're letting me struggle through this. You don't want people to rush in and pat me on the back or wipe away my tears or give me a Big Mac or whatever it might be, because you want me in the place like Daniel, where I'm hearing from you, Lord, not like Saul, who took food from some witch who seemingly wanted to help him do better, but in reality, Saul never heard from the Lord. And I wonder what would have happened if Saul had stayed in the place of fear and trembling and brokenness. Could he have heard something else? Might there have been a work in his heart? I can tell you story after story. Time doesn't permit, and don't worry, I won't. But I could tell you story after story of times when I felt, I don't know, just kind of left alone a bit and wondering what's going on, only to find that in due time, the Lord always showed up and touched me and said, "Rise up, Johnny," and gave understanding to me. And I have also been in places where I've depended on people or expected that people would come and feed me or help me. And you know what happens in those cases? I might gain strength temporarily like Saul did, but he'll go on into defeat ultimately. God give you wisdom. Don't despair and despise the days of brokenness when you're prostrate before him, when you're eating dust, when you're just saying, "What's going on?" Let the Lord do what he wants to. He will show up, I guarantee. He'll come through ultimately. Well, this witch kind of got in the way and helped him out, and now he, Saul, rises up and he makes his way into the darkness of the night. Chapter 29. In the meantime, the Philistines, back to David now, Saul slips away into the night. And the next time we read of Saul, he'll be in battle and he will die on Mount Gilboa. But in the meantime, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek. And the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. So they're up north, as we talked about last time. The battle is about to be engaged. The Philistines have called all their armies together. The men of Israel are in great fear and are trembling about the situation. Well, the lords of the Philistines, the leaders of the Philistines, passed on by hundreds and by thousands. They marched by, getting their assignments, getting their battle array sorted out and ready to go. Now, David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. They were in the back with Achish. Achish was the king of what city? Come on, kids. Gath, exactly. Achish was a Philistine. Remember, David, tired of being chased by Saul in a time of discouragement and depression, decided to leave Israel and go live in Philistine country. Remember the story? And now he's in Achish's army. He's allied with Achish. He struck up this friendship with the king of Gath, you see. David is in this place now where he's actually fighting for the Philistines. He's there as the armies are gathering together, mobilizing themselves for the battle. Well, the other guys in the Philistine armies said, hey, verse 3, what do these Hebrews do here? These are Israelites. These are Jews. What are these guys doing here? And Achish said to his other Philistine leaders, is not this David, the servant of Saul, which hath been with me these days, these years? I have found no fault in him since he came to me. Hey, I know who this is. It's David. He used to be a servant of Saul, but now he's allied with me. And I have not found any fault in him. He's a guy that I can lean on. He's a guy that I look to. Remember, Achish was the one that actually would elevate David to being his personal bodyguard, you see. I have found no fault in him. Well, verse 4, the princes, the other leaders of the other Philistine groups, were angry with Achish. And the princes of the Philistines said to Achish, make this fellow David return that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him. Get him out of here. Send him back to wherever you put him in the first place. Let him not go with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. We can't count on him. In the heat of the battle, he's going to change sides again. He'll turn on us. We don't need that. Send him away. And so Achish hears this as these guys are ripping on David. They said, verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, but David slew his 10,000s. This is the hero of the Israelites. He's a warrior. He's a man that has power. We don't want him in battle. He'll turn against us, and we'll be in trouble, you see. So Achish, verse 6, he calls David and says unto him, surely as the Lord lives, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host, the army, is good in my sight. I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming to me, even to this day. But the Lord's favor thee not. The other guys don't like you, David. They don't trust you. David, you have never done anything wrong. Now, had David done anything wrong? In our study last time, what did we see? Achish thought that he was out raiding Israelites, the cities of the Israelites there that were in the southern part of Judah. But that's not what David was doing. David, as he had this propensity to do, was lying again. He wasn't raiding Israelites. He was raiding Canaanites, slaughtering every man, woman, and child, lest any of them survive and escape until Achish, the Philistine king, David, your friend, your ally, he's murdering Canaanites, you know. So David went from place to place and leveled those Canaanite villages completely, totally, you see. And when Achish said, where you been, David? David said, well, I've been battling there in southern Israel, which was technically true, but totally false. It was the right information, but the wrong implication. And David has this problem. We talked about that last time, over and over again. David is a man who's given to lying, twisting the truth. He's clever. He's too clever by half. He fools people. But as we saw last time, what happens? 85 priests are killed. Blood flows. Later on, we're going to see a whole city is wiped out unnecessarily. He gets into big trouble over and over again. Finally, he cries out in Psalm 119, Lord, remove these lying lips from me. David comes to a place where he sees that although he's clever and tricky, he's sneaky, in reality, it causes death and destruction, and blood flows all around him. And David comes to the place finally in desperation where he says, Lord, remove from me these lying lips. We talked about last time that this is encouraging to me, frankly, because God used David mightily, even though David was very flawed. And guess what? So are we. We're very flawed. Each of us has certain propensities to sin. certain things that we just seem to struggle with over and over again, certain characteristics that are inconsistent with the calling that we have and the Lord that we love. But yet, the Lord uses us anyway. He uses you. He uses me. He uses us. If your heart isn't all right, David's was, even though his actions and activities were sometimes very wrong, terribly so, yet God used him and recorded the story that it might encourage you and encourage me. Because the enemy will whisper in your ear, you can't be used. No way. Not with that propensity, not with that tendency, not with that struggle that you go through day after day after day. The Bible would say, not true, not so. Look at the man who's exalted above all others in the Old Testament, David. And yet we see in him there was weaknesses, but his heart was a heart of passion towards the Lord. I like that. I'm thankful for that. So Achish says, David, you've never done anything wrong. Little did Achish know. Little did Achish know that David was doing all sorts of stuff behind his back. David, you've been trustworthy and loyal. You've been good. But hey, it's the other guys that don't trust you. So return now and go in peace, that you displease not the lords of the Philistines. Now, David, verse 8, said to Achish, but what have I done? Why? What hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee to this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord, the king? Why can't I go and... Now catch this. This is an amazing little vignette. This is an incredible story. David, God is rescuing you from doing what you don't want to. What's that? Kill your countrymen. David, that's not your heart. It'll be a disaster if you do. That's not what you want. We know that about you. So what are you doing? When Achish says, okay, David, you've been a loyal guy, trustworthy. I can count on you. Yeah. But you know, it's the other lords and leaders that don't really have much faith in you. So sorry, David, you'll have to go. Why? How come? Let this not be so. Let me stand with you, king, and fight against the men of Israel. David didn't want to do that, I know. But it's kind of like Ben and Mary, kind of like our kids, you know. It's funny. A couple nights ago, I asked one of the kids, I won't say which one, to feed the dog. It was late at night. It was raining outside and all the rest. And they had this discussion, this debate, this interaction about whose turn it was to really feed the dog, you see. And back and forth it went, and the voices got a little bit higher and the feelings got a little bit hotter as they were debating, discussing whose turn it was to feed Sam, my dog, you see. Well, finally I said, I'll do it. So I went to the kitchen, grabbed the can opener and the dog food can and all the rest. At that time, you wouldn't have believed. No, I'll do it, Ben said. No, let me do it, Mary said. No, and they began to just trip, both desperately wanted to do it. But they really didn't want to. But when they couldn't, when I stepped in, then all of a sudden they wanted to. And I suggest to you the same thing's true with David.
Does that sound familiar? David is acting just like we do sometimes. We really don't want to do something, but if we don't get to do it, then we get upset. We are indeed fickle people. Well, Pastor John will share with us how this story turns out in our next program. He will also show us how we can make application to our lives. Please join us again then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.